Okay, so this talk is on humility, and it's going to spend a lot of time looking at Mary and her example of humility, and how we can learn from her how to grow in humility, and what humility looks like when it's lived out. But first, humility kind of more in general. When asked what three most important things there are for the spiritual life, St. Bernard answered, humility, humility, humility. So he's emphasizing the importance of humility. It's a virtue that's necessary in order for us to grow in our spiritual lives. But what exactly is it? Well, St. Bernard goes on to say that humility is a virtue by which a man, knowing himself as he truly is, abases himself. And St. Thomas Aquinas also talks about humility, and he says, the virtue of humility consists in keeping oneself within one's own bounds, not reaching out to things above one, but submitting to one's superior. Humility, St. Thomas Aquinas goes on to say, regards chiefly the subjection of man to God, for whose sake he humbles himself by subjecting himself to others. So humility is about submission, it's about surrender, it's about lowering ourselves in order to recognize our relationship with God. So subjecting ourselves to God would include, of course, following his commandments. God, who loves us so much, tells us how to reach him. He reveals to us the way to grow in holiness. But sometimes we think, you know, well, I got a better idea. I'm going to get to heaven in a different way. That doesn't actually work. And we can see that time and time again throughout history, beginning with our first parents, Adam and Eve. They thought they had a better way than God's plan in order to be like God. But God tells us the best way, and that's by following his commandments. And he wants us to recognize that he truly loves us and cares about us, and that's why he gives us these commandments. To guide us, to help us. And so we are to subject ourselves to him, to his wisdom, to his love. But that requires a lot of trust as well. And we can subject ourselves to God by subjecting ourselves to our superiors, to those who have appropriate authority over us. And so that can look like different things. In my case, submitting myself to Father Malini. So if he wants something to be done a certain way, and I think, well, I've got a better idea, I can just, you know, submit myself, keep my mouth shut, and be like, okay, this is what Father Malini, who is the legitimate authority, wants to do. I believe the Holy Spirit's working through him, and so even if I think my idea might be better, God is very pleased with humility when I just simply accept how God's going to work through the pastor, through Father Malini, and not me, the associate. So subjecting ourselves to others. Children, for example, do this. They submit themselves to their parents, or at least they should. And many times they do, but not always. employees subjecting themselves in obedience to their bosses. Again, sometimes we think, oh, well, this is a better way, but we need to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves to others. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, in humility, let each one regard the others as his superiors, each one looking not to his own interests, but to those of others. And so we shouldn't be all that concerned with ourselves, is kind of his point, but rather be more concerned about other people, recognizing within ourselves our own difficulties and challenges living out a life of holiness, but recognizing in others how God is present in them, choosing not to look at their lack of holiness, but choosing to look at how Christ is in their hearts, in their souls, how Christ is present in other people. And in doing so, submitting ourselves to those other people, keeping them as a higher priority than ourselves. Thomas Merton says, if you were truly humble, you would not bother about yourself at all. Why should you? You would only be concerned with God and his will, and the objective order of things, and the values as they are, not as your selfishness would want them to be. And so, again, with humility, Thomas Merton is pointing us to the reality that if we're trying to grow in humility and we're constantly thinking about ourselves, we're kind of being counterproductive. In one of his meditations, he goes on to talk about how sometimes people who are trying to grow in humility create all sorts of complex rules and methods and formulas in order to try to grow in humility, and then they have to pause and think, okay, this, that, the other thing, am I growing in humility? Is this not? And he's saying, well, why are you bothering focusing on yourself? Like, if you're truly humble, you're going to be more interested in God, God's will, and focusing on God. He also says in that same meditation that sometimes we're so worried about ourselves and trying to look humble to other people, and he says, well, as if our humility depends on the opinion of others. It doesn't. And so we shouldn't be trying to go through some complex set of rules in order to grow in humility, but rather simply more focus on God and what His will is. And if we seek God, then we will do what He tells us, and we would want what He wants, which isn't always easy because sometimes God wants us to do things that are difficult, that are challenging. And we just have a tendency to want things to be comfortable and easy instead of the more difficult path. But oftentimes, the difficult path, the challenging path, is the path we need in order to grow. The path we need in order for us to be strengthened in virtue. The path we need in order to draw closer to God. Whereas sometimes when just everything is easy and everything's comfortable, we don't really grow. We're just kind of like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to stay here. It's nice. In my own life, that sometimes happens in the morning. Oh, it's time to get up. Nah, I'm good. Nice warm bed. I'm comfortable. But we should be more willing to do what is truly good, to seek out what God's will is, and not be so attached to comfort and to ease, but to simply try to follow God. St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast day is October 15th, equates humility with walking in truth. She says that God is supreme truth, and to be humble is to walk in truth, for it is a very deep truth that of ourselves we have nothing good but only misery and nothingness. Now that can sound a bit harsh, but she means that in relationship to God, God who is infinite, anything compared to God is going to be approximately nothing. So when she's talking about us being nothing and that nothing good can come from us, she's saying this in relation to God, God who should be our focus, the one that we're looking at for guidance, the one that we long for to be united with forever in heaven. Because God is truth, goodness, beauty, love, joy. He's all of these things, and whatever we experience here on earth is just like a small little glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. Whatever little bit of truth, little bit of goodness, little bit of beauty we experience here on earth, heaven is going to be so much better because it's union with God, who is those things. So it's good that we look to God and recognize that God is the source of all that is good, and that we recognize the truth in that, and we live accordingly. So with that general information about humility, let's take a look a little closer to the humility of Mary. So this is not my own compilation. This is coming from St. Alphonsus Liguori. And he kind of walks us through Mary's life and includes a little bit from different saints as well. He reminds us that St. Bernard says of humility that it is the foundation and guardian of virtues. So we need humility in order for us to grow in the other virtues. And without it, we can't really have the other virtues. And if we have the opposite of humility, if we have pride, from pride we can so easily fall into so many other sins. So if we want to grow in holiness, we have to have humility. St. Francis de Sales wrote to St. Jane Frances de Chantal, God so loves humility that whenever he sees it, he is immediately drawn hither. So humility attracts God. when we lower ourselves, when we recognize who we are in comparison to Him, that's attractive to God. He draws close to those who are humble. So if we want God to be close to us, it's important for us to humble ourselves before God. If we want to encounter God in prayer, we should start with humility, humbling ourselves before God. And this isn't something that God just says, yeah, you have to go do this. He gives us the example in Himself. God, the Son, came down from heaven, became incarnate to show us what humility is like. If we think of Jesus, He didn't like boast that, hey, everybody, I'm God. Look at me. I'm so great. No, He was very humble about it. In fact, the first 30 years of His life, He didn't even minister to the people or draw attention to Himself as being the Son of God. He was very humble about that. And He worked diligently supporting Himself and His mother after His foster father, St. Joseph, had passed away. So He gives us that example. And He even tells us in Holy Scripture, learn from Me because I am meek and humble of heart. So Jesus gives us that example. God reveals His own humility through Jesus Christ. But Mary, being the first and most perfect disciple of Jesus Christ, shows us humility as well. She's also the first in humility. And she is, and by that humility, she merited to be exalted above all creatures. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Saint Matilda and revealed to her that the first virtue that she exercised herself was humility, and that was from the very beginning of her childhood. And so one of the effects of humility is a lowly opinion of ourselves. Not that we think lower than ourselves than we actually are, but that we think of ourselves in truth, like St. Teresa of Avila said, we think of ourselves in truth in comparison and in relationship to God. So Mary had always so humble an opinion of herself that as it was revealed to the same St. Matilda, although she saw herself enriched with greater graces than all other creatures, she never preferred herself to anyone. So Mary didn't really consider herself a sinner because she wasn't, and humility is about truth, like we said. But she didn't boast about that fact either, because if she did, that would be pride and that would be sinful. And then she wouldn't be sinless. But Mary, recognizing how blessed she was by God, how favored she was by God, being enlightened by God, saw more clearly than the rest of us do our relationship with God. She saw her littleness, her nothingness in comparison to God. And because of that, she was able to remain humble. Because she had that greater clarity of that relationship with God, she remained humble. So Mary knew that she never offended God and that she had greater graces than others, but she acknowledged the favors of God, but because of those favors, she was able to humble herself all the more. And so as we grow in holiness, as we grow in relationship to God, as we grow in our understanding of ourselves, we would also grow in humility, recognizing our littleness, our nothingness in comparison to God, and how great God is, and how much God, being infinite greatness, is the source of all that is great, all that is good, all that we have. God provides that. So Mary knew that in a very profound way, that everything is a gift from God, and that helped her to remain humble. St. Bernardine says, the Blessed Virgin Mary always had the majesty of God and her own nothingness present to her mind. And so one comparison would be like if a poor person was given a very lovely garment to wear, and they were in the presence of that giver, they wouldn't be all proud about that garment because they know the one who gave it, and they know that they didn't deserve it. And so that's kind of like Mary's humility. Recognizing her littleness, her nothingness, she was very much like a poor person. Recognizing that all the gifts, the graces come from God, that's like that nice garment that was given to her in the presence of the wealthy person, in the presence of God. So Mary also appeared to Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, and she said that she might rest assured that she looked upon herself as most vile and unworthy of God's grace. And therefore, Saint Bernardine says, after the Son of God, no creature in the world was so exalted as Mary, because no creature in the world ever humbled itself so much as she did. There are some theologians who would say that it's because of Mary's humility, her profound humility that exceeded the humility of all others, that God was so attracted to her to have her as his mother. And of course, he knew that in advance because he's God. But she cooperated with that grace. She cooperated with God's gifts, remaining humble, accepting those gifts. So a soul that is truly humble is going to refuse her own praise. And should anyone try to praise her, she would refer it all to God. And we see this throughout Mary's life. Even though we don't hear a whole lot about her in Holy Scripture, the parts we do hear, she's always redirecting attention to God, always refocusing things on God. So Gabriel comes and he says, Hail Mary, full of grace. And Mary is immediately, taken aback by that, glorify God, not me. St. Elizabeth says, Blessed art thou among women, and whence is to this to me that the mother of my Lord should come? Blessed art thou that hast believed. And so when Elizabeth says this to Mary, she redirects it to God with the Magnificat. She says, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And then she goes on about all of these praises about God. So somebody praises her, she redirects it to God, recognizing her littleness in God and God's greatness. And so she redirects it all to God. And that's one of the reasons why it's good for us to draw near to Mary. And when we honor Mary, she's redirecting us to God so that we can be with God. Mary said to St. Bridget, I humbled myself so much and thereby merited so great a grace because I thought and I knew that of myself I possessed nothing. For this same reason I did not desire to be praised. I only desired that praises should be given to the Creator and Giver of all. And so, Mary, at this point you probably realize Mary's been appearing to a lot of saints and revealing some things about herself to those saints. But this is very insightful to help us to understand Mary. And when we draw close to her, she takes us to God. Speaking of the humility of Mary, we hear from an ancient author, O truly blessed humility, which hath given God to men, opened heaven, and delivered souls from hell. So it's recognizing that this virtue of humility was very powerful and necessary for the history of salvation. It's also a part of humility to serve others, and we see this in Mary as well. St. Bernard says, Elizabeth wondered that Mary should come to visit her, but that which is still more admirable is that she came not to be ministered to, but to minister. So Elizabeth has St. John, but Mary has Jesus, who is God. And so Bernard's point is that Mary came to Elizabeth, but not so that Elizabeth is going to serve her, because it's like, oh, my child's the king of the universe. Like, you should wait on me. No, he's saying what's admirable is that it's the opposite. Like, she has the greater gift, the greater graces from God, and yet she came to Elizabeth to serve Elizabeth. And so St. Bernard is pointing that out, that profound humility of Mary. And that's part of humility, service to others. Those who are humble are retiring and choose the last places. And therefore, Mary, as we hear from St. Bernard, when her son was preaching in a house, as we hear in the Gospel of St. Matthew, she wished to speak to him, but not of her own accord. She remained outside and did not avail herself of her maternal authority to interrupt him. And so she, being the greatest disciple of all, she still chose the lowest place. There's not enough room in the house. Okay, she's going to wait outside. And Jesus is going to teach. And she wants to talk to him. Okay, she'll wait. Even though being his mother, she would be able to, or should be able to, just say, excuse me, I want to talk to you right now. But she didn't. She was being very humble. Likewise, interestingly, in the Acts of the Apostles written by St. Luke, we see that at Pentecost, Mary, again, being the greatest of all creatures by God's grace, she's listed last in the Acts of the Apostles on Pentecost Sunday. St. Luke writes, "All these were persevering with one mind in prayer, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus." So she's listed last of all. So even in the Gospels, she's taking a humble place. And it's not that St. Luke didn't really know that Mary was so important, but rather it was because of preserving her humility and following that example that she was written last in the list of people present at Pentecost. And so taking the lowly place is a mark of humility as well. An interesting point about humility is that those who are humble, in some way, they want to stay withdrawn or not draw attention to themselves. And so when Jesus is having his triumphant procession into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we don't hear about Mary like standing next to Jesus like, "Yeah, I'm his mother, that's me." No, we don't hear that because she's being humble. She wasn't seeking that honor, but she was shying away from that honor, recognizing again her lowliness in the presence of God. She said to St. Bridget, "What is more humbling than to be called a fool, to be in want of all things, and to be believed oneself the most unworthy of all? Such, O daughter, was my humility. This was my joy. This was all my desire, with which I thought how to please my Son alone." So, taking the last place, looking like the fool, she wasn't there in his triumphant entry in order to avoid the honors that are associated with it. But she was there at the cross, where Jesus was thought to be a criminal, where he was condemned to death, where it would be embarrassing to say, "I'm his mother." And yet that's where she was, with her very presence, identifying herself with her son, who was suffering such a horrible death. She was there at that moment when it wasn't honorable. She was there. St. Gregory of Nyssa remarks that of all virtues, there is perhaps none, the practice of which is more difficult to our nature, corrupted by sin, than that of humility. So he's pointing to the fact that humility is perhaps one of the hardest virtues for us to practice, one of the hardest virtues for us to grow in. But if we want to truly be children of God, we have to have humility. If we want to truly be children of Mary, who became our spiritual mother at the cross, as we hear about in the Gospel of John, "Son, behold your mother, mother, behold your son." That's applicable to all of us. We have become her spiritual children. Then we need to be humble and to grow in that virtue. And so, like Jesus, Mary detests the proud and only invites the humble to come to her. "Whoever is a little one, let him come to me." Richard of St. Lawrence says, "Mary protects us under the mantle of her humility." So whenever we talk about humility, we talk about Mary's mantle, according to him, we are considering the same thing. That when Mary protects us, it's with her mantle of humility that she protects us. "So also would her humility be of no avail except to those who endeavor to imitate it." And so those of us who wish to follow Mary's example, who wish to grow in holiness, who wish to draw close to her son, should imitate her humility. And so Mary then says in one of her apparitions, "Therefore, my daughter, clothe thyself with this humility." St. Bernard says, "Oh, how dear are humble souls to Mary. This blessed virgin recognizes and loves those who love her and is near to all who call upon her, and especially to those whom she sees like unto herself in chastity and humility. And so we hear that the saints are constantly recognizing Mary's humility. You might say, well, we're talking about Mary a lot and her humility a lot. Like, isn't that kind of a boastful thing? Well, Mary is not presenting her virtues. We are. And as we hear in Scripture, God humbles the proud but exalts the lowly. And so Mary, who was humble, who took the lowest place, who had such a profound lowliness of herself, she is the saint that we honor above all others, because it's God who is honoring her through us and drawing her attention to her so that she can guide us back to him. And so Mary sets for us a very challenging example of humility, but a very good one at that. And so, again, with regards to humility, someone who's humble is going to have a lowly opinion of themselves. Someone who's humble is going to refuse praise of themselves but redirect it to God. Someone who is humble is going to seek to serve others. Someone who is humble is going to avoid honors and seek out being in union with Christ, even though it could mean being ridiculed or some level of suffering, like Mary at the cross. Those who are humble would seek the intercession of Mary and try to imitate her humility. And those who are humble would recognize that their humility would help them to grow in holiness and to be close to our Lord and to our Lady. And so Mary is this great example of humility for us. And we have from St. Alphonsus Liguori a prayer about humility. And I have a few more pages, but we will not get to them. So we will close with this prayer of St. Alphonsus Liguori about Mary and humility. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then, O my Queen, I can never really be thy child unless I am humble. But dost thou not see that my sins, after having rendered me ungrateful to my Lord, have also made me proud? O my Mother, do thou supply a remedy. By the merit of thy humility, obtain that I may be truly humble, and thus become thy child. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.